Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, Filth, if you head over to our Bandcamp right now, we have done another bonus episode for you.
Ben, another one?
Another one.
Oh, my God.
Stop the presses.
It's almost like we're doing them one a month.
thanks for everyone who downloaded the Grand Theft Auto one that we did a few weeks ago. Yes, we've gone back in. We got such great feedback for that. We've done another one for the Legend of Zelda series. We go right back to the first one.
The Wind Waker. No further back.
We talk about two games and it takes 3 hours. We went right back. It was a lot of fun to record. If you like the first one that we did, it's pretty much the same style. We're going to keep pumping these out pretty regularly. So yeah, check that out if you want to hear us give a complete history of the Zelda games. Ben, yeah. Where can people find it?
That is available at filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Check our Twitter and stuff and there'll be links there too.
Yeah. You can get it for a dollar or more if you want to support the show. This is the best way to do it while getting some sweet content.
As in a dollar, or you can pay more if you want, not as in it. I can't remember what it costs, yeah. But it's more than a dollar.
Yeah.
More than a dollar, more than a dollar for you. Enjoy the episode. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo, sitting across from me in his patented little short shorts. You have?
Ben Vanell. Yeah, I'm putting another show on for you, Tommy. You've come back from a big weekend away, and mm-hmm. I've welcomed you with a lot of skin.
Oh, the welcoming party is out in full force. also joining us, it's the third of the show.
Most defining feature.
Yeah, no, that makes you sound like you're the least important. You could be any. I mean, you're a third of the show.
Yeah, a third. Yeah. And it's me, Adam.
Ben, what's that over there? What have you been cooking?
Shepherd's pie.
Ooh, mamma mia, that looks good.
Yeah. I'm a great cook.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Because I never hear you talk about, like, I look at a lot of people if they cook, like me, yes. If I cook anything, I'm in every group message I'm on Facebook and I'm telling everyone about it. I want everyone to know.
Toast, baby.
Yeah, I bothered to do something. Yeah, I bothered to not get takeout for once. But you, what are you here cooking for yourself every night? You're just kind of squirreling away in the corner.
Yep.
Don't like to make a big song and dance about it.
That's right.
When are you going to have me and Adam over for dinner?
Baby, right now. You want some shepherd's pie?
Oh, hell yeah. Well, two questions to both of you. When are you going to cook for me and Adam?
Yes.
Adam, when are you going to let me and Ben finally see inside your house?
Ben cooks for us.
Oh,
okay.
What if Ben cooks food and brings it round to your house?
I wouldn't like that. I don't know why, but that just seems like a whole lot of like, then I'd have to put on like airs.
Yeah, you'd be entertaining. You'd be like Hyacinth Bucket.
close enough. Hyacinth Arena Bucket would be.
I'm obsessed with this. I want to know what's going on in that house of yours.
Hey, no, you don't.
I'll cook a meatloaf. We'll bring it around. We'll eat it on the floor probably.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Would it help if I bought a table? What if I bring a little fold-out picnic table? Would that help?
No. You eat above the kitchen sink. That's where.
Great. Really great.
All right.
Okay. We are going to, in this episode, we're going to kind of continue our discussion from last week about Breath of the Wild because we've all played it a little bit more and there's, well, I mean, you've finished it, Nox, but have you played any more of it since finishing it?
I did go back in after finishing it and like it was still good.
Yep.
And I've been thinking about it a lot, but I just haven't had a huge amount of time.
Yeah, right. Okay. But yeah, there's a, well, one of us has a bombshell take on the game, even more incendiary than my Austin Powers comparison of last
week. If that's even possible.
but before we get to that, there's a bit of news from this week.
Yeah.
It's our God-given duty to address.
Yeah, we are the fifth estate, or the fourth estate, which...
the fourth estate. I'm trying to think of some video game version of that, some lame-ass... All I can think of is Call of Duty 4th Estate, but that's really bad. If it was a Star Wars podcast, the 4th Estate would be really easy to do.
All right, we're changing everything.
And thank God it's not.
Hi, Steel.
So, well, it's not really news. Like, they're trailers that people put out. I mean, we're regurgitating press releases.
That's newsworthy.
I guess. But do you want to talk about Mass Effect first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's been ramping up. That's out in like a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is fucking crazy. That doesn't seem possible that game, which has been, I feel like, very hush-hushy. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I feel, but they like over the last couple of months, they've been ramping it up and releasing some videos and stuff.
Yeah. And man, you wouldn't want to be bringing out a tough time to be bringing out a new game that's not in the wake of both Horizon Zero Dawn, yeah. which people are still loving.
Yeah.
Anyone who hasn't got in on the Switch, like people are loving that game.
Totally.
And then Breath of the Wild, like man, tough times to be bringing anything else out.
Sure. Yeah. And but like Mass Effect, I guess it's got a different enough setting that's kind of cool. Like the space opera thing is kind of refreshing after all these swords.
Well, I've never played any of these games. You guys have both played all three.
Yeah.
You're big fans of the franchise.
I love the first three. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm even someone who loves the third one, including the ending. I just loved it all.
I thought the third one was great. The ending was whatever, but I just don't feel like any ending could have really done that game a great service.
Totally. Mass Effect, I don't know if it was the first, but it was one of the biggest games to pioneer the real RPG thing of your decisions carrying through from one game to the next,
right?
Based on your save file,
sure,
and all the way through to the third one.
So then when you play the second one, stuff that you did in the first game affects it.
Your saves from the first game, but that all ended up being, of course, a little more surface level than people got themselves into a flurry about. You know what I mean? So it was all very sort of this character either remembers if you slapped him or not and says a slightly different thing. But the same basic things happen.
Yeah.
But that's more than okay to me.
A little bit like plugging the cartridge for Sonic 1 into the top of the cartridge of Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah.
Able to play as Knuckles in the first game.
And then the ending of Sonic 1 when this little ghost child came out of nowhere and just told you.
Gave you three different coloured options.
Blue Tails is colour or red for Knuckles.
I actually don't think it sounds similar to that at all. I just wanted to impress people by the fact that I remember that that's a thing that happened.
Yeah, well done. I am very blown away. Ben can cook. You can remember one thing. God, we're a talented house, crew. But those games are great. And this one is sort of like a soft reboot in that it's set in a completely different galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy, where Kevin Sorbo lives. Do you remember that show?
No.
He did a show that was by Gene Roddenberry, who was the Star Trek guy.
You thinking of the Andromeda Strain?
No. There was a show called...
Because I am.
Still. You wake
Sonic
up
and Knuckles?
In a cold sweat every day. Ben wakes up and goes, oh, the Andromeda Strain. Oh, God.
It could happen to any of us.
There was a show called Andromeda and it was meant to be like, here's the new Star Trek. And it never took off.
Right.
But,
and so you like Mass Effect.
Yeah. But
in spite of all that.
it's a whole new thing, different galaxy, and it just everything I've seen of it so far, and they released like a new sort of cinematic release trailer or whatever this week. It all looks a little not great to me. I don't know why. There's just something about it that seems off.
Yeah, well, there's less personality than the previous ones, I think.
And maybe this is what the feeling was before the first Mass Effect came out, before you knew the characters, because I could only really vividly remember 2 and 3 coming out.
Yep.
And so, because I was already invested in this story, so of course it seemed more colourful because...
Totally, you know what's going on.
No one is like super excited about... this is a bad example because I think they were, but the first Matrix... But then by the time Reloaded comes out, you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's literally the opposite.
The Animatrix, baby.
Oh, no, but the first Matrix was like a surprise hit. No one did know what it was going to be.
Yeah. I remember their campaign, their marketing thing was, what is the Matrix?
Yeah.
Which is like, that has been so fucking overdone now. Every second company uses the tagline, what is the Matrix? But like whenever you get like some dropkick on like community radio, like who is this person? And you're like, none of us will ever know or care.
Oh yeah. When they do like the big billboards that are just like a URL. Yeah. It's like, who is Dan?
And you're like, I don't give a fuck who Dan is. Get out of my house. Put this billboard in my house.
Let's register whoisdan.com as the domain for this show. We should get a website, and I dare say we're not going to be... Oh, no, have we done this already?
What?
Filthycasuals.com.
Oh, we've looked into this,
isn't going to be available.
It's a clothing site, I think.
That'd be pretty good.
I think whoisdan is an awful...
for us, it just redirects to Filthy Casuals podcast. Yeah,
I think that's great. I think that's good.
Hey, if someone out there wants to A, build us a website.
Yeah.
B, buy Who Is Dan and redirect it.
I've gone from...
Okay, Who Is Dan is not taken. Whoisdan.com.
Great. I've gone from shitting on this idea of marketing to now suggesting that we do it for this show.
I am still 100% whatever the opposite of behind is, in front of this.
In front of...
You're in front of this.
That means like I've already started.
You're leading the charge.
Yeah.
So...
You and me, between the two of us, we've got this idea on the spit.
Where am I? I'm in the middle with an apple in my mouth.
Did you play much of... Dragon Age Inquisition?
No, because I hated it.
Right, okay.
But I liked Dragon Age Origins and I didn't like number two.
What about Dragon Age Spanish Inquisition?
Ooh, oh, no one expects that.
La da 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 bamba. I didn't expect such a terrible choice.
So, yeah, that's what I heard as well. And I haven't played that either yet.
Right.
But
So, wait, the Mass Effect Andromeda. So, is this being treated as a sequel? Like, are people treating it like it's the fourth one in the series? Or is this like a Far Cry Primal kind of thing where it's
They're treating it like it's the fourth Mass Effect game, but the storyline is like a side story.
Right, but do you think they'll go back to those... Do you think they'll do like a number four?
No, because kind of the way the third one ended really makes it difficult to have more stuff there.
Okay.
And I think they're right in thinking that people are kind of done with that whole story... And going somewhere else seems interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I think that's interesting.
Like, there could be a Mass Effect Andromeda 2. Like
I assume that's their plan, is to do another sort of trilogy with these.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
And for the stuff I've heard about, it sounds promising. Like, there's only really... There's, like, seven or eight planets that are very detailed rather than it being here's a huge galaxy.
No Man's Sky thing. Yeah.
I think it's good. I mean, for someone like me who I've never gone in on the series, like, it's good. I think it's always nice when there's a bit of a kind of a reboot thing, like it's always for people that are jumping
for
in
sure.
on the first, which I think you're getting with Zelda at the moment, like heaps of people who, like one of whom is showing me his nutsack at the moment in this very room.
Knox, zip it up.
It says, "Who is Dan?" across my balls. It's nobody. I don't want that to become a thing. I hate that.
No, I love it. So you're like, skeptical. Ben, are you excited?
Well, I don't know if I'm skeptical. I am, I guess.
Yeah.
I believe you used the exact words, I am skeptical.
I'm skeptical about it, even if I'm skeptical. It's just like, I don't want to get myself too worked up about it because I don't think it'll be bad, but like a lot of the stuff of like, some of the trailers that they've put out, you have like two people, you had this in the other games as well, but you've got a couple of other people following you around as your squad mates or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be doing the thing of
Falco
over talking.
Peppy the hare.
Yeah, exactly.
Slippy the frog.
Over explaining what you should do next a little bit.
Like a barrel roll. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that sort of stuff makes me nervous, and just like the acting and the animation and stuff in the what they've shown so far hasn't been awesome, but I have no idea. It could be good.
Well, the first three games were all great.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to judge it on the media
looks
stuff.
Like it might be a little not that interesting as well from what they've shown.
The combat has been very simple. In the first game, not even cover shooting, or maybe very kind of clunky cover shooting.
The first one was very different to the other two, where the first one was like, it originally had a whole like, you're meant to pause and assign people jobs to do. And I don't think that was in the final thing.
No. Kind of, that was like the Knights of the Old Republic combat style.
Yeah, and that was what Mass Effect was originally going to be.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It became very actiony, and I liked that as well.
Yeah.
But largely because the story in that drove me through it. So I guess what I'm saying is that if this has a good story, I'll like it as well, more than likely.
Totally, yeah.
So
who
knows?
I think it's going to be good. But I'm also not really invested in it. Like, if it's good, then I'll be happy. And if it's not, I will keep playing Zelda.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm totally glad they're doing it. And I think this is the right move. And if it's bad, it won't matter to me. And that will be the end of Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
So something else, another trailer went up during the week.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to get talking about this one, you son of a bitch?
Wait, which one was this?
The Middle Earth one.
Oh, yeah. So this is the one
the one that you brought up before.
What it was. Yeah. Absolutely lit up.
So this is the one I'm really excited for that I completely forgot. Yeah, so I really, really liked the first game, Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. It was like a melee combat, Arkham kind of style combat system with the kind of Assassin's Creed tower climbing map revealing sort of stuff. And the big thing was the Nemesis system. So, like, I don't even know maybe I finished the story. The story was pretty inconsequential. But the fun thing was that there'd be, like, all these areas and all these warlords, all these orc warlords, and they were like procedurally generated, but they all had very specific like personalities and histories and combat styles. And you'd fight one, and if you defeated him, then he'd probably come back later angry that you defeated him with like a scar on his face.
Oh, wow.
And be like even tougher probably. Or if he beats you, the next time you see him, he makes fun of you and attacks you. Like it was called the Nemesis system, where they all remember you and they evolve based on your interactions.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's mostly like, yeah, combat based. So the combat will be harder or different based on the changes in the relationships. And I was reading a bit about this today. That came out like a few years ago. No one else really implemented that system.
And I remember at the time they were talking about like this will be the thing that everyone copies out of this game.
Yeah,
but I didn't like that anywhere near as much as you. I played that as well.
Yeah,
and thought it was like the definition of like bland open world thing. It just really didn't.
Oh,
catch
right.
And then that Nemesis system I thought was way lamer than it was hyped up to be, just because the way it turned out, well, the way it looked to me was that it's Mad Libs. That's all it is, you know? You get this orc that's called like, hey, it's Toilet the Destroyer, and he's afraid of toilets, but his strength is toilets, you know?
It sounds great to me.
Yeah. But, and so like it was kind of like the presentation of it was cool, where they got like a bunch of chanting Vikings to yell like, Gra and more and duh, so that you could have someone named Da Grorma Da. Or whatever, but it just ended up not making me care, and it just was very bland and plain. And yeah, the main story was boring as hell.
Yeah, well, you don't think Who Is Dan is a good idea, so who cares what you think?
I like the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, so do I. It feels like a very and this one more so. It's very tangential to Mordor. So now I'm back in.
Yeah, I've done it.
It feels very side.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
and probably to the benefit of the game, where like you should be able to do whatever you want with it, rather than have to follow this very dense, intricate, like don't mess with it stuff from the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And I think it was around the point where I still wanted to like Assassin's Creed but had stopped liking it. And so it was like very similar gameplay. Combat I thought was really fun. Like there were some inventive things with like your magical powers and stuff. Mm. And just like the fluidity of running around Mordor was really fun.
Yeah.
And then the Nemesis stuff I just liked on top of that. So totally. It was like a nice little icing on
the cake. And I agree that like the base gameplay was pretty good, but it was just very bloated, very dry. You know, it had no sense of humor to it really.
That's
reminds me of like his wife.
And
that's who Dan is.
My ex-wife.
Yeah, I've cracked
Danielle. Why am I needing to ask who she is in public?
You've got the Eternal Sunshine treatment.
Ah, very good.
You laid out in the sun and you got sunburned.
So this trailer, you guys, what do you think?
So there's like, it's like a 15 minute long or something. It's quite a long thing.
It's like the alpha. It's a gameplay, alpha gameplay.
It's a real tough gameplay video.
Yeah, nice.
It really comes in.
It's the Ben of the gameplay trailers.
And so it goes like through a sort of encounter. So there's this new thing in the second one, Shadow of War, it's called, Middle-earth Shadow of War, where there's a bunch of different regions. And again, each region has a warlord, but just like another step up one, basically, like a bigger warlord.
Yep.
And you sort of storm their stronghold or whatever with orcs that you've brought onto your side, and then you kill a dragon or whatever. And it looked very button prompty, starts a cutscene.
It did, yeah. Which I assumed was just because this is a showing off
thing. It was hard to tell, yeah. But so definitely benefit of the doubt. And they're doing the cool thing where it's out in August or something. Like they just announced it last week or whatever, and it's out very quickly, like Fallout 4
cool.
whatever it was.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I'm a big fan of that, and I'm expecting...
Yeah, I really hope that starts happening more and more.
It feels like after this little patch here, there's nothing really, other than like maybe Red Dead, that people have said are coming out in the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all apart from the Nintendo stuff.
Feeling, yeah, that's true, that E3 will be a big like, and it's available very soon.
We talked about this a few months ago, like, yeah, could games ever get to the point where they're released in the way of, you know, like albums will just kind of drop overnight with little to no fanfare? Like, could, like... How close to that can games get?
Yeah, it's difficult to know because some of them kind of do that already. Or like definitely indie games come out with very little fanfare and build up
over time,
reputation after the fact.
But that's usually because they don't have a marketing budget.
Yeah, exactly. And the only thing that I think realistically could probably do that would be like the Half-Life 3s and whatever of the world, where like a huge, like Valve has a distribution platform that they can put it on the front page of as well.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. The marketing and the distribution.
I mean, that would be incredible if, E3, like Nintendo or whoever just go, and it's in the eShop right now.
Sure, but even Nintendo, there's no one big enough in video games, I don't think, to be the equivalent of the Beyonce of video games.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So,
like something would happen where it's like, oh, you can play 10 minutes of the new Final Fantasy VII remake or something. Like they'll drop a thing, a playable demo, I guess.
Yeah. Most of it goes in the other direction, similar to movies as well, where it's like, here's an announcement for a teaser, for a date, for the trailer, for the, you know, and it's like these 10 steps of like,
who
some
is Dan?
Well, Sony are big on that. Like, they'll just get up there and go, here's everything that we've even written on a napkin that might come out in 2020. Which, again, with the frustration of Nintendo's recent form, I have to say, I'm fine with that. Like, if you just have a list and it's like there's not this kind of uncertainty.
Totally. And I think with this game as well, with the Middle Earth thing, a lot of people expected it last year at
E3.
Yeah, and then
it
didn't show up. And people kind of knew it was being made anyway. So, like with the Switch when it was the NX, if people kind of already know, just say, like, we're making this. Of course we are.
Yeah, totally.
We'll tell
you
later.
Yeah.
Like Bethesda has already said, like, yes, we're making an Elder Scrolls 6. Of course we are. But like, wait until 2020 until we talk about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Hopefully this one improves.
Which, just
on
quickly, the Nintendo, the Japanese version of that is, I am not able to comment on that at this time.
Yeah,
I'd love a bit of that.
Yeah. Like a fucking OJ's lawyer.
Fuck. Well, I think this game looks great. Like, I really like the first one. It's one that I've gone back to a few times.
Right.
And this, is another. So the original one for Tommy, it's like, you kind of have to beat this big boss, but to get to him, you have to beat all his under bosses.
Wait, what?
Let me start again. When you have a job, you have a boss.
What, and this game lets you beat the shit out of your boss?
Yeah, it's great.
It's sort of like a parent who doesn't like you.
But yeah, you kind of work your way up, and the bosses kind of had a lot of personality for being procedurally generated.
I just didn't buy into that part of it, and like, who knows if I got bad luck with that or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it just like, they all were a bit too similar and a bit too like, it very much you could see where all the randomly generated stuff slotted in, kind
of. Right. See, I feel like they're all pretty different. They're all like different sizes. And this, so the new one, it has, there's like trolls and stuff, and there's
dragons
also, like base.
Sorry, drakes in Middle Earth, but
This, I will say, these kinds of games are all in the same realm for me, where to just look at them from the outside, this any kind of like Middle Earthy kind of stuff, it just all kind of looks the same. It just all looks very bland to me, and I'd lump For Honor into that same category, just the art design of like realistic looking, like shields and knights and stuff.
Mud on a suit of armor looks boring most of the time.
Yeah, totally.
I totally agree with that.
That's been my big hold up with like, there's all these franchises that I just know nothing about. And I'd almost kind of put Mass Effect in there with the same thing with space. Like it's like, I don't know, like if you're not keeping up with it, it's all sort of just tends to blend into each other. And I'm not saying, I mean, that's just what's kind of always stopped me from having any.
Sure, I get
real
that same
interest.
Thing with a lot of Japanese RPGs, like all the Tales of
Zestiria,
Gablablia or whatever, and like Kingdom Hearts
is
the most ridiculous looking fucking game in the world to me. And I kind of really want to play it because I've never played any of them.
Yeah,
and the idea of Mickey Mouse being a fucking like sword wielding like.
That's fascinating.
King.
I've never played any of them, and it's always fascinated me that exists.
Well, and there's like 70 of them, and they've all got the most fucked up names.
Oh, they're like 2.8 is like the latest one.
Yeah.
And what is that?
Like, it's 720 days for six birth in your sleep and all this crap.
Wait,
birth
what?
By sleep is the name of one of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And there's one called like 365 divided by 2 days or something.
Oh, right.
They've got these fucked up names. It's hard to understand.
Dream Drop Distance was one on 3DS
that
I played
mean
the
anything.
Demo of.
You son of a bitch.
Well, that's probably because it's a Japanese phrase that wasn't translated.
No, because it was for the 3DS and it was 3Ds. And so they just have 3D names.
Get down on your knees and suck on these 3Ds. Is that
that
what
was
it
the
is?
Name of it.
I do. I don't know. I like that. There's something about that title that I find. But I mean, that series looks cool to me, but where the fuck do you begin? Like, it's kind
of. Well, they're doing like a big load of re-releases for the PS4, so maybe it's something that at some stage when we're doing this kind of thing, maybe we get involved in that.
I kind of just wish there was like one big one that I could just play and go, cool, an RPG where Mickey and Goofy are in it. Like, yeah, without having to go so deep into all the backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'd love to know how that started. Like,
yeah.
Who came to who?
Dude, that is two CEOs doing coke on a fucking plane somewhere.
Yeah.
And then, like, handshaking on this deal and both waking up and going, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
I said Donald Duck could be in the next one. Oh, my God. This is so dumb.
Yeah, when a Naughty Dog gonna fucking make an Uncharted game where Woody Woodpecker's in it? He's his sidekick.
Whoa.
Like, why did it stop there? Those games are successful. Why aren't other companies going, we gotta get Squirrely Squirrel in here.
Oh. Rocky and Bullwinkle are in the next fucking Last of Us.
How good would an open world Who Framed Roger Rabbit game
oh,
be?
Oh, fuck.
Running around in Toontown, that would be sick.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Who is that? That's Warner Brothers, I guess, have some tie to that.
Yeah.
Daffy Duck's in that.
It's Warner Brothers and Disney.
It was... Right. No, but it's an outside studio. It was like a Steven Spielberg thing at the time.
Oh,
and they had
yeah.
to go to Warner Brothers and Disney and get permission to use all their characters in it.
Yeah, that's right. And Zemeckis directed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Middle-Earth 2, I hope that does an Assassin's Creed 2, where I really didn't like the first Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
But then the second one really just refined all of the stuff they were trying in that and made it good. So hopefully it's good, but I don't know. Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I think the one differentiating thing with that art style is, like, the creatures are pretty cool. Like, they are very unique, and I thought in the first one the kind of bosses were unique looking. But
I think the exact opposite.
I mean, I've definitely had this with games before, just anything where I've sort of, from the outside perspective, it's like, this is all just this generic, who cares? And then once you actually go in, you realize it's a lot more nuanced than it looks from the outside.
Yeah.
But it's just getting over that hurdle of giving a fuck enough to actually...
Totally. I think Game of Thrones would look like that as well. Like, that's really good.
Yeah.
But Lord of the Rings has, even when I've been in it, been a bit much like that. Like,
You were in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, I was Aragorn.
What?
I haven't gone back and watched them, but they told me I was definitely still in it. I can't watch myself on screen.
Wait, you're thinking of Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
You idiot.
I'm Aragorn in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But it just, like, yeah, that the whole Lord of the Rings world is really unappealing to me for some reason.
Yeah, right.
And I like those movies. The Hobbit ones fucking suck, obviously. But
That whole world is really unappealing to you, but you like the movies.
I like those movies, but all of the extended stuff. that specific, like, story or, like, the way they did those movies in particular is good.
Okay.
The books I find dull as shit, and all this stuff around it is just so... boring. It feels like reading 20 dictionaries.
And I love it. The meaning of the word love.
Can you not just read the same dictionary 20 times?
Yeah.
Or are you getting them in different languages?
I mean, it would be boring to read 20 different dictionaries. And that's what I'm saying. I think it's boring as hell.
I think that for someone who doesn't speak Spanish, reading a Spanish dictionary is going to be more boring than reading an English one.
Oh, that'd be way more interesting.
But you can't read the definitions are in Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go, El Tuesday. What does that mean?
The Tuesday.
Well,
okay, so that's all the trailers we've got to sum up for the week.
I think so.
That's kind of all the news at the moment, right?
Like, I think,
I think we'll start to ramp up in the next couple of months, but it's
pretty... there's been a lot of stuff about just like how well the Switch is selling and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like I've seen a lot more talk and a lot more actual instances of real Switches being held than I have with any video game system in a long time. I've been on the train a few times and seen multiple people playing Switches.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, let's get into that. I was going to say that for the end.
The train driver was one of them. That was really...
I was going to save that for the end. But yeah, this has been a huge launch for them. A lot of people who I know who have checked out of Nintendo for a long time have gone and got one. You know, Ben, you being one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it seems like, you know, I think we were all a little critical of some of the marketing decisions and the way they were sort of framing it in the lead up. But it seems like it's paid off and done exactly what they wanted to do, which is get an install base of a lot of people.
Totally. And I think their broad marketing was pretty good.
Like
all those big billboards that said, who is Shigeru Miyamoto? They really affect. But like all the stuff of being on the Tonight
Show.
That's great. And
putting,
like,
the last name as well. He's still expecting it to have some kind of mystery.
You misspelled where? He's been missing for months. I need to find it. But like all that stuff was cool. I think just like the fact that it's launched without all this crazy stuff that should be pretty much expected of a new console today, like web browsers and Netflix. It's not a big deal, but the thing's like a tablet, so it is weird.
Yeah.
And not having like a proper emulate, what do you call it? The
virtual console.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I wonder, I think I really think that a lot of that is just down to the strength of Zelda and people going, I've got to play this fucking game.
Yeah.
Well, sure, I could get a Wii U for cheaper, but fuck it. If I'm going in, why not just go all in? And yeah. This thing looks cool and it's a portable and I can take it with me. And so I think, yeah. I mean, I think it's paid off for them in the grand scheme of things, which is promising for the future because, you know, all the stuff about third-party support and games being on it, it's like that stuff just happens if there's an install base.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's
you know,
true.
That was the problem with the Wii. Like, no one had one, so who's going to bother to make stuff for it because they're just not going to make money. So
yeah. Yeah.
This is – it's been the biggest – I think in pretty much every country, it's been like the biggest launch they've ever had.
Yeah,
certainly for Nintendo. I think sometimes, like in general, at least in you know terms of the speed of the first week, it'll be interesting to see if Nintendo keeps up availability of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's always a problem for them where stuff disappears.
Do a NES Classic, and they think there's more value in it being. But it doesn't. I haven't heard too many things of people. I mean, that was that sort of took over the story of. I mean, people the NES Classic were like, "Oh, this is really cool," and then that kind of faded into the background. It was like, no one can get this fucking thing. What are they doing?
Yeah,
like that sort of took over the story. I haven't really heard any of that with the Switch. I mean, you managed to get one day one without pre-ordering.
Totally. And I think initially I thought like, oh, there's no one's lining up. There's heaps of them. It mustn't be selling well. But no, apparently they just shipped heaps of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like it's March. People aren't going to... There's not that same sort of Christmas fervor that happens around when November or whatever when people are normally selling these things. So a lot of the time when you hear that stuff of like, nobody can get it, it's because it's like December 21st and some person's left it till the last day.
Yeah, right.
So
previous guest Mark Bonanno went and bought one day one. I don't think he's had a Nintendo in forever.
Yeah.
Ben Russell was going to be getting one today.
Yeah, fuck.
Just a lot of people. I don't think I've ever known. I think most other times when I've gone in on day one of a Nintendo console, I've known maybe two other people that have done it. But this is like
Angus Truscott and Andrew Levins?
Pretty much, yeah.
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 I kind of wish I'd have gone now because I'm looking down the barrel of a week in Adelaide like you were.
Yeah.
I just sort of have been thinking like, ah, fuck, I kind of, if I could take Zelda, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
oh well. So they've been having some problems with people's consoles being bricked.
Yeah.
I don't know, some stuff like dead pixels.
Yeah.
There's a few issues out there that they kind of really need to
screen. Screen scratching.
Scratches quite easily, apparently.
Yeah.
And I will say that's my biggest fear of it at the moment is just wear and tear I'm a little. It's not just like if a controller fucks up or whatever. It's like a new one's $80 or whatever. But this is like something's wrong with the screen. You've got to like the whole thing is in there.
I think Nintendo, or at least in Australia, are quite good about if you have an actual fault with the system, they will let you send it in and give you a new one or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's quite easy. Like I definitely remember going through three Wiis.
Right.
Because they kept.
Really.
Yeah. Because I was very nervous about the one time my Wii broke.
Yeah,
so I started pissing everywhere.
Oh.
But right. Yeah, it like the video card on two separate ones broke.
Fuck.
To the point where it was like all this weird glitchy stuff happening on screen.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, if my memory of it's right, that they contacted them, they sent me a box, and it took like 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
But you send it back and forth and you just get a new one. The thing about the Switch that sucks is apparently you can't take your saves off of it.
Well, I did just see it, it's still kind of up in the air. I did see something just before we started recording of someone going, no, they were able to with mine. So I think that's a thing where hopefully they'll work it out. But I mean, you know, any new hardware that launches is going to have its issues. I just think it comes down to how the company deals with it moving forward. Do they refine the hardware?
Yeah.
And if they're, it's still a pain in the ass, but if they're cool to deal with instead of, you know, and people then get a replacement or whatever it is instead of just going, fuck you, that goes a long way towards,
totally.
You know,
Microsoft lived through having like a third of their fucking Xbox 360s break on people.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they would just send them a new one and go, fuck, sorry.
But I mean, on the other hand, I had a PS1 that I treated I kick it. Like I had it when I was quite young, and Rosie as well.
Yeah.
It was just like in the family. It's like on the ground. So you know, it's
taking all
your
frustration.
Take out your anger somewhere. Yeah,
I know. Like it was scratched. It had scratches.
Yeah,
in the, you know, like someone's moving a chair. You know,
like Jamiroquai sticker over the top of it, or like a big Billabong.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mine was the Bruce Willis game Armageddon. Uh-huh. No, not Armageddon. It was Apocalypse or something.
Oh yeah, Apocalypse. That's right.
I put a sticker on, then I ripped the sticker off. Like it was like, but it lasted lasted with not even a disc, you know, reading issue. Like it just lasted for, you know, like 8 years
or whatever. Well, that's the same. Any kind of cartridge based, like a 64 or Super Nintendo, you could fucking chuck in a backpack and take away with you or whatever, where it's like anything. Like I've taken my PS4 somewhere else with me and just so like,
oh yeah,
had it in a suitcase, like just wrapped in clothes and bubble wrap, so, like so paranoid.
So I also had a PS3 that lasted until I bought a PS4 and then its disc drive died, right, and my PS4 has been fine. So like Sony wise, I've never had a hardware issue, right, at all.
PS2, the first one, like the fat one, was a little dodgy,
right,
at times. Like the discs would stop reading pretty easily in that, I think. But yeah, in general, for sure, like the sticks on these PS4 controllers are fucked. Like I can see your ones doing it a bit, where yeah, like the rubbery bits on it wear away.
That is when that's when I lived with Tim and we both played it. Like when either one wasn't here, so it got a lot of play. That one.
Yeah. But like it's extremely common for this to happen. I'm pretty sure, right, which is pretty shit. But
yeah. So this is my kind of issue with the Switch at the moment. Is, you know, it's like great, I can take it with me, but there's been couple of instances. Like I was going to a gig the other night and I was going to get the tram in and back, and I was like, oh, I'm going to play Zelda on the tram and then I'll probably end up at the gig a bit earlier, just play it while I'm waiting. But I was just kind of too scared because I was like, I just don't want the thought in the back of my head of my bag being over there, and like, so I would fucking hate myself if something happened to it a week in.
Yeah.
And also this ties into I went to Golden Plains, a music festival in Country Victoria, which goes for the weekend for any interstate or overseas listeners. And yeah, I sort of was like, this is like the ultimate test. But again, I was just like, I can't do it. I can't, which kind of gets down to like, this is why you got this thing, so you can take it places, but you're too scared to fucking actually take it out of the house.
Just even the fact that it doesn't have like a lid that closes across the screen is enough to make it. Like that exposed screen is the biggest thing that would make me go, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no
way
I'm taking this anywhere.
It's interesting. I wonder if I'll get to the point. I mean, you know, I bought an iPad 8 years ago and for good money and had that with it initially, and now it's like I don't even know where it is. Like it's great technology that all of a sudden became the more, I don't know, the more. So I'm waiting for the, you know, will there come a point with the Switch where I'm just throwing it across the room and knocking it
for sure,
anymore,
kicking it in the corner.
Putting a chair on top of it. Well, I've been taking mine to work, but it's only because I drive to work. I wouldn't take it on the tram.
You've got to do something while you're driving.
Absolutely.
Well, so I will say I was walking around Golden Plains and I was walking through the field at one point and I sort of walked past a conversation. Because we've been talking about it a bit. I kind of played. I had a bit of a busy week before I went. It was just killing me. I just was like, I just want to play this game all the time. Like, it's so good. And I walked past a conversation where I kind of heard the back end of it and I heard a guy going, I mean, you know, you could just get a Wii U and get it on that. But if you're going to get it, like, why not just get a Switch and go in? And I was like, oh, my people. And I turned around and ran back and I was like, are you talking about Zelda? And the guy was like, yeah. And I was like, are you playing it? And he's like, no, I just work at JB. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I just wanted – I thought on the way back, I was like, it would have been so good to just get on the official, like, event thing for Golden Plains and go, everyone who's playing Zelda and leaving it at home, let's meet under this tree at 2 p.m. on the Friday and we'll just have an hour and we'll just get it all out so we don't have to bore the people that we're camping with about how good it is.
I don't think doing this podcast has been good for you. Running up to groups of strangers.
Well, then we get to the next bit where
good morning, everyone!
I got up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet and it was like just looking out across this field, like we were camped on a bit that just kind of led like along a fence, and on the other side of the fence there was just nothing, like just an empty field and then trees on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was dark and I could hear the wind and all these insects and I was just like, fuck, I wonder what would happen if I just sprinted across that field. Like, what's on the other side of those trees, I wonder? But I was like, I love Zelda because it's like, it reminds me of real life because it's so immersive, and now I like real life because it's reminding me of Zelda. I'm fucked.
Oh, boy.
That's no good. I think I've talked about this maybe in this podcast before, but when you get really into a game, that shit does start to happen where like,
yes,
I remember
strafing
when I was playing, when I was playing System Shock 2, I got so into it that whenever I saw a security camera in real life, my finger would twitch like I was about to shoot it.
Wow.
That was really,
I'm definitely, when I leave here, I'm going to clear all the apples out of Ben's house. I'm going to take his little goblin horn with me so I can go cook it.
I need that.
Into my little shepherd's pie.
Oh, yeah.
So last time we spoke about this game, you had some issues with it. You were, the controls were not really doing it for you.
Yep.
So talk us through your week since then.
Okay, so I kept playing it after...
I sold the Switch.
Yeah, I kept playing it on the Wii U, obviously. No, yeah, I kept playing it. I got more and more comfortable with the controls. And then I just went, fuck it, I'm buying a pro controller. And I did, and I brought it home. And immediately it solved every issue I had with the game, really.
Right.
Like, the frame rate's still bad, but the controls, it just made the gameplay better. It made it more fun.
Wouldn't that have been a great con if somehow having the pro controller just made the frame rate better?
It's got a little graphics chip in it, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I love the pro controller. It is better than the DualShock, I think.
I think so too. I think it's really... You know, the DualShock is good. I've always had a bit of an issue with how kind of angular the DualShock is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I like I've always preferred more your Xbox style and and your Wii U Pro Control, the kind of rounded style I'm a bit more into. Like,
right. So I still, I don't know how this works logically. I prefer the design of the DualShock, but I prefer playing games on the Pro Controller.
Right.
Like it's just yeah. It is
the design of it is in the look of it. Or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
because a big difference is the sticks being my thumb feels because I'm holding each of your controllers back and forth.
Yes,
right now getting my grubby little jammy hands all over.
Yep,
and your thumbs feel a lot more comfortable on the sticks with the Nintendo one.
Yep.
Than with the Sony one. They're just a little far away. Not that it's a big fucking deal. Like I'm not running a marathon. I'm just moving my thumb slightly. But I like how big the buttons are on the Pro Controller.
Yeah,
as well.
I think that's a main one that I like about it. Yeah,
The design of the Sony controller, I remember when they launched the PS1, it's stayed pretty consistent. Yeah. Like
I think that might be why I like it.
Well, this is the biggest redesign for the PS4 that they've done.
Sure, but even that is still really based around that original one. Like
sure, it's a lot more... I want to say gloopy, like you know what I mean. Like it's like drips.
It's less angular than it used to be. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But they've still kind of. I don't know. I found that because I remember looking at it at the time, and this is around the time when you had the 64, which had the prongs, and it really was working towards it. And then I remember holding a plate, and it's just that like those big kind of chunks that come down the side that aren't. Well, at the time, they weren't molded into your hands at all in any way.
Yeah.
And they've gotten slightly better, but it still is really like...
It feels very skinny as well. Like it feels like you're really wrapping your hand around it like a fist. Like, you know what I mean? Like almost like one of the Joy-Cons where your hand is really gripping it, whereas the Switch controller or the Pro controller at least kind of just sits in your hand a lot more simply.
Yeah. Is this good to listen to or really awful?
I think so because I think a lot of people...
By the way, this whole time when I've been saying controller, I've meant my own penis.
Oh, well now it's great to listen to. I think a lot of people on the back of last episode hoped we actually went into more detail with Breath of the Wild. We ended up having very big philosophical conversations about it rather than the specifics.
Yeah, I mean, I stupidly just didn't make notes because I wanted to just kind of talk, you know, just go and just see where the conversation went.
Yeah.
And then I immediately, like afterwards, I just felt we kind of rambled and I hadn't gone in on
enough. Man, that's Zelda, you know, you get distracted and you go off in a direction, baby. Yeah, I think thematic.
I think I assumed people had watched gameplay videos and they wanted to hear more about what it was actually
about. Well, and a lot of people want to hear nothing because this Breath of the Wild is one of the few games where I feel like the mechanics of the game constitute as spoilers in a weird way. Like discovering that crazy extra shit you can do is like I found out a thing. Should I just say it and we'll just say like these are
I think just say it because I've got some thoughts on this whole nature of spoilers.
I found out that you can ride animals that aren't horses.
Oh yeah,
you can jump on bears and shit.
Yeah,
and that's fucking cool and I didn't know that. And when I found that out I was like but I probably wouldn't have found it out on my own as well.
Yeah,
so well, that's it. I mean it's like you so you now Ben now you love it. You've done a huge turnaround. You were into
turnaround. I thought it was a 9 out of 10 and I hoped it would get better as I played it. And it has. It's basically it has. It's just gotten better. That getting the controller that I actually enjoy playing the game has totally helped that. But I've played a lot more of it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Do we want to talk about just little things that we've been doing in it recently?
Yeah, yeah.
Because did we talk about this last time? I found it really interesting that they, going back and watching all the stuff that they were saying when they first announced it in 2014 or whatever, and that a big thing was redefining how people play Zelda in two big ways, dungeons being in one order and people playing it alone. And they were saying we want to completely...
Yeah, I think you mentioned this. Yeah.
But I can't remember if I said it to you guys off air or not.
I think it was on the podcast, was it? Maybe. I don't know. Do it again.
Either way, like, I remember I was watching that video and going, Because I remember at the time people going, oh, it's going to be like multiplayer or something, that not playing yourself, not playing by yourself. And I was kind of going, oh, well, that's interesting. I guess that kind of fell away and they didn't really focus on that. But then the way that we've been all been talking about it, and I've seen people talk about it online, it's like, well, no, that's what they mean. It's like you're not – there's no need – if it's super linear, yeah. It's just literally – it's like, oh, did you get up to this bit yet? Yeah, yeah, oh, pretty cool, right? Whereas this, it's like – like I was around here the other night and you were like using your shield to surf down a hill.
Yes.
Which I didn't know you could do.
Yeah.
Or like I'd seen a trailer that had that in it, but I assumed it was just a thing that you unlock at a certain point. And you were like, no, you just get your shield out and jump. And I was like, holy fuck. And it's like just that element of it where, like you said, there's spoilers, but there's also like there's a guy that I really like, Dunkey, who makes these very funny, I think very funny video game compilations. He's put one up of him just dicking around and doing all this insane shit in it. And everything in there is like, fuck, I would never have thought to do that in it. Like, and I can't think of too many other things like that where, I don't know, GTA has that element of that sandbox world, but it's like, it's all there and it's all pretty obvious. It's like, drive your car off this jump and you know, jump out of it. Like,
well, I think GTA San Andreas kind of introduced to me to this concept of, If you think you can do it, if you think of something to do, you probably can do it.
Sure.
Like in GTA San Andreas, it was the first time you could, I'll just like awkwardly climb up this building and get off this girder and jump over here and get up here and then jump off this skyscraper and parachute to the bottom.
Yeah.
Like that was the kind of game
where. 3 had that and then like Morrowind and like Deus Ex even and stuff like that before. So like that stuff's been, but for sure like it's been a. This is a evolution of that. And like, even the just little tiny details in this game are so well done. Like, I fucking love how when you throw a weapon away, I like that, just the way that looks. Like, when you don't want a weapon anymore, just fucking chucking it off a bridge is really fun. And like, the little dogs, if you run in a little circle, they'll run in a circle with you. And
cooking is awesome. Like,
That's the one thing where I wish I could do just batches of shit. That's a little annoying. And like, that Korok guy, he does the dance every time, you know, like that. So just little things like that are very.
I would agree with you more if I didn't. I just love the animation of stuff cooking. I could watch
and
that
it's very
again
brief.
And again and again and again. The and the little like dick 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 dick.
Yeah,
that's so. That's such a. It's such a small touch, but it's also it's so big. Like it, you know what I mean?
And
like the difference between that being fun to watch and being the biggest chore in the world, like, makes all the difference.
And if you throw apples in a pot, that's boiled fruit or whatever you get. Like, what is it? The sautéed fruit, the fruit platter that you end up with.
Oh, right.
But then if you just set them on fire, that's a baked apple.
But
And that little, just the way all the systems interact with each other in that game.
And it's exciting. Yeah. Finding a new animal, a piece of animal meat or a new, like, vegetable or whatever and going like, oh, fuck, I can throw this in the mix and see what happens. And sometimes you just get the same stuff that you would have cooked. You know what I mean? Some things are pretty interchangeable, but when a new one comes out, it's like, oh fuck yeah, now I've learned how to make that. Like it's so rewarding. Like
I love it's what it has done kind of is like it's taught you the laws of its universe.
Yeah.
And then once you know that, you kind of know how things work and that anything you try will probably work. You know, like anything you try will have an effect.
Well people are doing there's a lot of things I've seen of people putting octoballoons onto things. People using the time freezing thing in really interesting ways, which I keep forgetting that it's you can do that anywhere, like not just in dungeons. And this donkey thing is full of stuff where you go, yeah, of course you can do that. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm not up to that bit yet. I mean, you could do that stuff from just even leaving the Great Plateau.
Totally.
Like,
the only gate on you doing that stuff is the number of hours that you spend with the game and the amount of trust you have in it to respond to you well.
Yeah.
And then you do become more creative. Like, a lot of that stuff I ended up doing quite naturally just because I'd played it for a long time. So at some point I knew that a boulder would do this. And so you come up with more elaborate plans because you know more specifically what the world's capable. And I really like having everything from the start because you can go into any area and know that you have enough stuff to get through this.
Yeah.
So if you're
the enemies might be too powerful, but if you're just resourceful and you're tactical about
with the puzzles in the shrines, like it's never because you don't have an item yet that's required for it. It's just because you're a dumbass and you can't figure out how to do this.
I literally had that experience right before I came over. I was like, I am too dumb to work this out.
I was trying to back my car out of the driveway.
And I killed Jason. I just am up to – I'm in Zora's Domain, which I thought was interesting because kind of all I'd done up until that point was kind of a mix of going to sort of the main story point, so going to the
Kakariko village and whatever.
Yeah, and then the Hatino. Where you then go to the tech lab and she's like, go up to this guy, Robbie.
Yeah.
I was kind of making my way up there, but then I kind of got sidetracked by like, I want to kind of scale a couple of the towers and like activate them kind of in the air and fill out the map.
Yeah.
Just had been doing some really basic exploring. And then, so again, it was all very open and very like, I can go wherever at any point.
Yeah.
And so once I started to do the Zora's Domain bit, that path that you go up, it all of a sudden becomes kind of linear. Like once you decide to do that bit, you're following a track where you kind of closed in.
Yeah,
yeah, you can.
But
do.
even that,
and there's a lot of rain around there at that point as well, so you can't really climb easily.
Yeah, but even that, even though it was kind of forcing you to be quite linear, and it kind of starts to stifle you a bit, I just found that refreshing, and also I knew I could just get out of there any time.
Yeah, you can basically warp out of any place.
Go do anything else if I couldn't be fucked with it. But yep. I found that a bit of a relief at that point to just have a bit where it is really just guiding you through this very tiny path. And again, all that stuff that you're doing in there is fun. And I think I got to it a little later than I should have. So I had a bit more powerful weapons going in, which made it a bit more easier.
Right.
Yeah. And just even discovering from you about using the shield as to skate on, I was like, this is the only way I'm ever going to get around from now on. This is so good.
Yeah.
I never ended up doing much of that just because it breaks your shield pretty
quick. Well, I did it for fun and then I stopped doing it because, I wanted to conserve the shield.
Yeah.
But I guess very broad spoilers. If you don't want to know anything that happens in the game.
Exactly.
It's a bit late now, but sure.
Yeah, I've got my first divine beast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one did you do?
The elephant.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's, I think, the one it kind of guides you towards a little
Absolutely.
Bit for first.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've spent a lot of time in Zora's Domain.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I'm the master of Zora's Domain.
Oh, well, I'm out. not in like a criticism of the game thing. Like, I don't like these water people. I'm annoyed by them.
Fucking racist. In what way are you annoyed by
them? One of
them's
real racist to you. He's like, no fucking Hylian, and he's going to come in here tell me what to do.
Because you specifically.
I just don't like their style.
I think they're cool.
You don't like the character design. You don't like the vibe. Yeah, that's
exactly. That's that. Yeah.
I
very racist.
I spent a bit of time walking around that bit, and I did. I was a bit like, oh man, this is compared to everything else that I've seen so far. This is, it's overcast and it's raining and you can't really see. Mm. But then I find that just works so well once you climb up that mountain. And the weather's kind of, well, for me, I assume this is kind of set up like this is always going to happen. But by the time you get to the top of the mountain, the weather's cleared.
Yeah.
Right. And then you ride up and then you can see out everything again.
Yeah. Totally.
And just having that removed for a bit kind of makes it resonate so much more when you do get back to being able to see it.
And you've got
to
have every bit be different. Like for there to be nice bits of the world, you've got to have shitty bits,
So this is a shitty bit.
I think it's a really nice looking bit though. And when it's over, like it becomes
better, definitely.
You get to know those. And I think it's meant to be a little bit like foreign seeming and like, I don't really feel like anyone wants me here or that I fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that it when really you eventually become more friendly with them, It that is effective.
Yeah. Well, there's another of the dudes, for the rock dudes. He's hanging around there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love the design of that character.
Those guys are great. The Goron.
Yeah, right.
So
that's weird. Because the design of them, maybe it is just because they've been in it since like Ocarina of Time, I guess.
I'm with you.
Right.
I'm with Ben. I do like just design wise, I like the. But that's just anything. Like,
yeah.
It's going to have bits that you like more than others.
Yeah.
It really kind of threw me just how. Once you get into that bit and the way they're talking to you, it's like, hey, you need to go over here and get this, and then we need you to take down this. They're talking about it as if it's going to end up being like a boss battle. It kind of threw me because it was like, oh, this is like a classic Zelda. Like all of a sudden it feels
kind of
gated and like you're in this thing. But also that's kind of a welcome – I was about to say breath of fresh air. I don't want to make an accidental pun. But but it is I kind of rather than it feeling all of a sudden constrained because I know on the other end, well, then I'm back to
– Yeah.
And also it's like I fucked around in the wilderness for ages to get here. So it's not – yeah. And again, all those concerns that we had leading in of it being empty and it feeling like what are you actually doing in this game? Like
And I will say that I think that particular one is the weakest of the four that you end up doing. But having how different each of them feels and how different each of the cities you go to before it feel from each other, I think is really effective. And you're right. It is one of the things where I think that game gets better and better and better as it goes along.
Oh, absolutely.
It to the point, like, that's probably why I'm more positive about it than you still.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of it.
Yeah.
You've seen things, man.
Yeah. I've seen everything.
You've been all the way up the river.
All the way up the river, if you know what I mean.
But I'm loving it. Like, even like, yeah, getting past there and going a bit further north and discovering more of that area. There's like the terrain is different in almost, like, it's just constantly changing.
Yeah, yeah.
Naturally as well.
It's not
just plonking down a different kind of tree for you know, like a
well, like
a
I said,
square.
I said this last week and I sounded insane at the time, but you forget that it's designed. It feels, it all feels real. It feels organic. It feels like a fucking, comet hit a thing and just, you know, it just feels all so organic. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like, like someone sat there and designed all of this. That's fucking insane. Like,
And the more, the more you see, the more insane that seems. Like, it's just so impressive.
And there's so much that you keep thinking you're not going to be surprised by something else, and then it happens again.
Yeah.
And that's it's really impressive.
Yep.
That they've managed to make a good game.
Yeah. And you've gone in on an amiibo as well, I saw.
Yeah.
Which, you scan it in, you get some fruit, you get some little tasty treats from the sky.
Yeah.
It's kind
of
cool.
Those amiibos, man.
You what?
Like, I'm scared of amiibos.
Because
this is the first game that's made them appeal to me.
Yeah, totally. And then you have to get all of them.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way that I can ever buy one.
Well, did we talk about this last episode?
Maybe.
So the any amiibo is compatible, like going back from the very first ones that they've done.
90%
but certain
of them,
Zelda ones that they've done for Smash Brothers and for the anniversary Zelda ones that they did a few months ago. You can unlock Link's gear from Ocarina of Time. You can get his horse from Ocarina of Time. And so now it's like, fuck, I want that stuff. But, and demand, whatever, having the toys and shit, I don't care about any of that. It's where do you find these things now? No stores have
you
those old ones
on eBay
anymore.
If you want to spend 30, 40 bucks.
Exactly.
And there's no way I'm doing that. Like, that's out of the question. I'm going to be fucking naming them in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, totally.
I'm
going to
have them surrounding me like a little army.
All right, we should start to wrap this up, I guess,
Yeah, I think so.
I guess so. Like, I think I could talk about it. And it is hard to know exactly how much that I should say or not still. I should probably shut up about that game for a couple
what's,
months.
Yeah, and also what's interesting to people. And but I am interested, like, because, just walking around and the stuff that you see. And again, I think we said this last week, if you've had any interesting experiences in it that you'd like us to get into or shout out, then, let us know.
Because
I definitely think this is something that we'll probably start to cool off on for now, but there'll definitely be stuff to come back to.
Yeah.
And again, once the DLC comes out, like, I'm fascinated by that, whether they're going to, now that it's been as popular as it is, like, add stuff into the DLC. Like, I'd love to see some different little environmental stuff come up that you can fuck around with. I wonder if they knew that was going to be as popular as it is. Like,
I've already bought it, and like it's ready to go when it comes out for me, because I just know I'm going to play that.
Have they set a date yet or not? They vaguely said like August and December, but
I don't think there are firm ones, but it's that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, that first one still sounds like, what's that, a new challenge mode, updated map features.
Sure, and I think that one's relatively soon. Like, the first one technically is you get like 3 chests on the Great Plateau that I haven't bothered to even go and get.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That give you like probably
the Switch
stuff
t-shirt.
That'll make it too easy. Oh, yeah, it is that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it'd be a Wii U t-shirt for me.
Oh.
I think it's still a Switch t-shirt from memory.
Oh, fuck that. I don't want to have to walk around with a... Well, anyway.
You don't have to.
Yes, I do.
What they should have
walk
done
around.
Is make it would have been amazing if they had made it. It's like the best piece of armor in the whole game. Like, got everything. Yeah. So you're forced to wear it around like a little fuckhead if you want to have any success in the game. That would be great.
That was like the bunny ears in Majora's Mask. You were always wearing them because they made you a bit faster.
Yep.
Oh, right.
Anyway.
So we should wrap that up for now. Email filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com at filthycaspod on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
paypal.me/filthycasuals.
Filthy pod. Yep.
We've got our live show Saturday, April the 22nd at the European Beer Cafe, tinyurl.com/filthycasuals live.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Keep the iTunes reviews coming, all that stuff. Check out, what is it? The Bandcamp?
check out the Bandcamp. filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Yep, for our Zelda retrospective episode that we've just put up there. Thanks very much for listening. As we say at the
end... I'm in Adelaide this week as well.
As we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals, Knox will be appearing at these venues on these dates.
Oh, yeah, the Adelaide
Fringe. I'm in Adelaide with Peter Jones and Luca Muller doing some comedy for the Adelaide Fringe there. I think the show's called Three's Comedy, and I think we're at the Producers Bar.
Great.
I'm there right now.
Yeah, you would be.
Oh, and also, yeah, our comedy festival shows, me, Tommy Daslow, Dinner for Two, which you can get tickets at tommydaslow.com. You've got Adam Knox.
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam Knox. It's me. You can get tickets at comedyfestival.com as well, and please fucking do.
Yeah, and Chimp Cop, the sketch group that you two guys are in.
Yeah,
is...
Chimp Cop Forever is now selling, comedyfestival.com.au, Chimp Cop Forever. It's a sketch show. Come and see it.
Great. And now, quit stalling, as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Oh, give me a few seconds for this one. I haven't thought about
that'll
it
do.
At all.
I think that'll do.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.